We get sent a lot of books here at LBC, and they're lovely. And indeed, I've been giving some away in our attempt to do book crossing. I've been sending them out and about in London, leaving them on park benches and stuff for free, because I think, you know, I shouldn't sit them on my desk. But I don't believe, and my boys will back me up, Adam McQueen and Adrian Mills, have you ever seen a more sumptuous book than the one I'm about to talk about now?
It's beautiful.
The quality of the photographs and the way that they're presented in the book is, I have to say, quite exceptional.
And
I've seen so many. I love photography, and I think certainly one of the best examples of, you know, of the art that I've seen.
Well, the man behind the book, Henry Dalal, is here. Hello, Henry. Welcome.
Hello.
And the book is called Pageantry and Performance, and it's about the Household Cavalry. Now, the Household Cavalry, you have to say straight off, Henry, it lends itself to fabulous photographs, doesn't it? Because you've got your red uniforms and your silver and gold and the dark horses. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. As a photographer.
Yeah. It's got. But these photographs actually look like it's an album where you've sent us the actual photographs. It isn't like one of those books where you get a sort of a horrible reprint of something. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. It's the glossiest, most gorgeous thing I've ever seen.
Thank you.
No, but I mean, it is a completely different quality, isn't it, to the normal sort of, your, how can I put this, your coffee table book?
Well.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. Now, we are going to give away one of these books to some lucky listener. But I think we should have a bit of a quiz, Henry. So what can we ask people?
Well, I think a nice, simple question is, what year was the Household Cavalry formed?
Yep.
And by whom?
Very good. OK, so that is the question. What year was the Household Cavalry formed and by whom? You know, whose household is it? That would be the thing, really. And you can either phone me on 0870 9090973 or, you know, your usual email. If you send a postcard, they probably won't get here by 2. That'll be the only thing, so don't do that post thing. Everything else will be fine. Now, how did you come to be so, as it were, intimate with the Household Cavalry? Because you're not a soldier yourself, but you seem to have had unprecedented access to these people.
Well, it evolved. I mean, as I'm a photographer, and I love travelling around the world, taking pictures, different nomadic tribes, wherever. And what I never knew was that you'd find a similar traditional group right in Knightsbridge, next to the shops.
Oh, I think Knightsbridge is full of traditional groups.
Very traditional.
Something that people want to talk about. 250 horses, is that right?
Approximately, that's right.
So, see, what you imagine, right, the image that you have is that you're going down Whitehall and you see them standing outside the thing, then that's it. That's all they do. But there's quite a bit of the mucking out manure and that side of it as well, isn't there?
Oh, it's a whole world behind the scenes. I mean, that you don't see. What the whole idea of what I did was try to capture the spirit and the hard work that no one sees.
Hmm.
Everyone is used to see them at least once a year during trooping or the Queen's birthday, but what people don't recognize is that that whole process is a whole world of hard work. There's a whole years of preparation, training the horses, training the lads themselves, the soldiers, and they turn out to be the best that they can be.
So what kind of people join? What kind of a fellow is it that decides, oh, I know what I want to do. I want to be one of those guys on the horse.
For one thing, I think a lot of them like horses, perhaps. But they're also. But they're also real. I mean, they're soldiers. They actually are in combat. They have two regiments. They're the armored regiment and the mounted regiment. I've focused my photography mostly on the mounted regiment, but the armored regiment, they're out there in Iraq. They, you know, they're actually performing combat and whatever in serving
the
country.
The mounted regiment don't go out, do they?
They're exactly the same. They do tours.
Right.
You know, a few years in Knightsbridge on horse, and then the rest on scimitars and out in green duty.
And I would guess that the ones that sit
outside...
They're
the same, sorry.
Oh, right. But the ones that sit outside that you see when you're a tourist or whatever, that's the worst job, isn't it? That's got to be like your real junior ones. They're the ones outside standing on the horse, because that must be, well... Must be quite boring, mustn't it?
Well, it's trying to make you laugh. Yeah.
Hundreds of photographers clicking away, and it's like, so go, no, go a bit nearer, stroke the horse.
Well, they actually do have fun in their own way. I mean, they have to make it fun. I mean, you know, the jackboots, they compete how many gets the most phone numbers slipped in. And
Wait a minute. Phone numbers?
Hey. Oh, when you're out there.
Yeah. Who slips a phone number in a jackboot?
Maybe some pretty tourists from, you know, wherever. But out
all
there
of,
at...
One of the perks of the job, then, obviously.
I'm getting out there on my horse.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's a great little insight there.
So they slip their phone numbers in?
Yeah, sometimes they do. They get the phone number. The horses, too, they have fun. I heard a story of this one horse that used to swallow a mouthful of oats when he goes out there at Horse Guards. Hmm. And he's there in the sentry box, and then he gradually lets these oats come out, and he's waiting for the pigeons. And, you know, when the pigeon comes, every so often he just goes slam, gets it, and kicks it in the back of the box. I've never seen it happen, but a lot of stories like that.
Well, the horse is in, shouldn't it? It'll be brilliant.
But, and also there's a lovely bit in your book that the horses can be hypochondriacs, which I quite like. No, they can have a sick day.
They do. They pretend they're sick. They don't feel like going out. I mean, they have their own personalities.
I love that. The horse goes...
I know. Do I have to go and stand out there today?
Something in my neck. Anybody else see that? A little crick thing happening there. There's a most wonderful photograph of a young man. Okay, he's shaving his horse. He's shaving the... He is, isn't he? That's a pretty...
That
he's got a razor.
He's shaving his horse. Says,
why?
Well, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. But the attention to detail and the work that goes behind... the preparation is unbelievable. I mean, you even see, I've seen, you know, the one part of the routine is the bottom of the hoof. They actually paint it white with chalk, white chalk, so that when the horse brings his on parade, you can actually see a beautiful white hoof. The detail is unbelievable.
And then they paint the top bit black, don't they?
Yeah, make it really shine and look as best as it can be.
I mean, it isn't...
Sorry, Jim, you're saying their detail is unbelievable, but so too is obviously yours as a photographer. And I was just, as Sandy was flicking through the book there, I saw some of the photographs there, the guys in their coats with the snow on the ground, and obviously got the summer photographs. How long did you have access to them to take all these photographs?
I sort of got to know everybody. And, I mean, they were all very welcoming and very, very supportive.
But was it over a year or over a period of time?
No, it evolved. I spent 6 years taking pictures with them and being with them at all times and finding different shots, like this picture of the snow. You say it's very rare to see snow, and it's even rarer to see snow with blue sky. So
It's an absolutely stunning period. So don't forget, if you want to win one of these absolutely gorgeous books, we need to know, when was the Household Cavalry founded and by whom? It's 28 minutes past one.
Get your hands on some of the hottest tickets in London. Call 0870 3800 973. It's the only number you need for all the big shows and concerts in London. The LBC Ticket Hotline.
Misunderstanding, mistaken identity, frustration and intrigue. That's See You Next Tuesday, an hilarious comedy of pure genius starring Ardal O'Hanlon at the Albury Theatre from September the 19th.
Call the LBC Ticket Hotline now. 0870 3800 973.
It's your ticket to London.
So there I was having a round of golf with this geezer who was giving it large about knowing all about this and knowing all about that. And I wasn't exactly happy, because I was one shot behind him at the time. So then I asked him if he knew that Bryco can supply 8 windows, fully fitted and guaranteed, from just £1,399. That put him right off his game.
Bryco, the difference is clear.
Call Bryco free on 0800 298 2298.
Are you paying too much for your car insurance? Shouldn't you find out? Call the AA today on 0800 900 888. And you could save up to £120. Sounds good, doesn't it? Call today on 0800 900 888 and just ask.
Member of the General Insurance Standards Council. Terms and conditions apply. Calls may be recorded.
This is LBC 97.3, London.
At 1:30, good afternoon, I'm Cormac McMahon. Jeff Hoon has told the Hutton Inquiry he wasn't sure Dr. David Kelly was the single source of leaks about the Iraq dossier until after his death. But the Defence Secretary said he stood behind the decision to make public the fact that an MOD employee had admitted to BBC journalist Andrew Gilligan. The Defence Secretary's been distancing himself from the process that led to Dr. Kelly being publicly named. Just hours after President Bush pledged there will be no retreat in the face of terror attacks, two more American soldiers have been killed in Iraq. One died in an attack on a military convoy in Baghdad. In a separate incident, a soldier was killed and three wounded in a roadside bombing in Fallujah, 50 miles west of the capital. 39 people are feared dead after a stampede in India. The crush happened during the Hindu festival of Kumbh Mela. Up to 60 million people are attending the month-long religious bathing pilgrimage beside the Godavari River at Nasik, northeast of Mumbai. Here, police investigating the murder of a South London woman say they found the weapon used to kill her. Corrine Bailey was beaten to death as she went to buy cigarettes in the early hours of Saturday, the 16th of August. Detectives have found a piece of wood they believe was used in the killing. A man's been convicted of running a £1 million meat fraud racket. 68-year-old Peter Roberts from Derby sold rancid and potentially diseased meat to Islington Council and supermarkets, schools and hospitals. Sir Cliff Richard has admitted he's paid a price for trying to maintain that youthful look. The 63-year-old told Hello magazine he stopped using Botox injections to reduce lines on his forehead because his eyebrows started to droop. London's weather, dry and cloudy with some sunny spells, highs of 22 degrees, and we've just reached that in Putney. Tonight, mostly cloudy and dry. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers. It's 1:32. Tuned in to London, LBC.
So well done for that. It's been an incredibly busy season. The number of parades and the concentration of them has not been such for many years. And you've come through it at the highest standard. So well done.
Keep falling on my head. The boys were whistling along to Eddie Mills and Adam McQueen to celebrate the fact that today BJ Thomas was born. Remember BJ Thomas? Raindrops keep falling on my head. Anyway, 1942.
Blank looks from this on the table.
I love that. Who knows? Anyway, and actual sounds from the Household Cavalry recorded by Henry Dalal. And I'm just there because they ride out in all weathers. Do you see? Raindrops keep falling on. People think it's just thrown together, and that would be entirely correct. Henry has produced the most gorgeous book about the Household Cavalry, and I was noticing today, it's funny how life, you notice things, suddenly they come up. There was a photograph in the paper today of the very first young black woman has joined the King's Troop, Royal Horse Artillery. Now, that's not the same as the Household Cavalry, is it?
No, they're different completely, but lovely to photograph and lovely to be with and work as hard and very horse... savvy.
Yeah, now, this is the very first time they've had a black woman in the guard. Are there any, are there black people in the Household Cavalry?
Yes,
it entirely white? It's not an entirely sort of white...
No, there are officers and there are troopers.
Because there used to be a sort of image of it being a bit of a, how can I put this, a bit of a Sloan Ranger kind of a career. Do you know what I mean by that? A sort of, posh people.
Well, in the 6 years that I have been taking photographs, I've come across all sorts.
Right, there's every kind of type of person.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, I mean, we see them in the, you know, the red things in the pageantry days, but they're soldiers. I mean, do they have to do all the same training, apart from, you know, learning to make a horse stand still for 4 hours? You presumably have to do exactly the same training as any other professional soldier.
Well, they're soldiers first and foremost. Then they come and they do the mounted division. But they're first and foremost all soldiers, and very dedicated, enthusiastic about that. I've seen one soldier who is not so comfortable on a horse, yet brilliant in a scimitar. driving, one of the reconnaissance tanks.
Right. See, I couldn't do it. The horse thing would just put me... I could not do it because of the horse thing. In fact, this young woman, Jana Scattlebury, who is the very first young black woman who's joined the King's Troop, said she grew up in Bow in East London, not noted for its equine pursuits, and said she was always nervous about horses, and she joined the army straight from school and tried riding during her basic training, and then she really liked it, although the horse that she's got is called Hackney, which is rather appropriate, isn't it? threw her off several times, and that's it. It's the word several several times.
And for me, and she got back on.
Yeah, for me, it would just be that first time, and I'd be going, no, thank you very much indeed. That's no good at all. So we're looking for you to either email me or phone me the answer. When was the Household Cavalry formed and by whom? And you can get a signed copy of this absolutely gorgeous book. Now, the quality of it is astonishing. Is it difficult to get such a book published? I would have thought so, Henry.
Well, it is. It's very expensive, as you could... it does take... The qualities are very high, but I wanted it to be the absolute best because I felt the subject itself deserves it. They are the best, I felt, and I wanted it to really stand out.
Now, you come originally from Persia, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, so is there something similar? I mean, this is my ignorance about... Persian way of life. Would there be a sort of similar area? Does every country in the world have cavalry?
Well, no. I mean, but I've come to know that a lot of countries try to mimic what you have here. And really, it is the best that you do have here. And I just thought, you know, I was very honored to have been able to experience it firsthand.
Yeah.
And to watch it and see it from scratch and how it's done and how they do everything and get to know everyone, the horses and the troopers themselves.
You see, I love the idea that we still have cavalry. My father was in the Danish cavalry, which is the Hussars. And this is not all that long ago. And when he got married, the uniform was a sort of a blue, and it was blue, basically, with the yellow bits that went across the chest and the yellow stripes down the side of his trousers. And he got married in the Hussars uniform, and he appears in the photographs that my mother has married a lion tamer. It is the most extraordinary picture of him standing there, you know, very proudly.
I was just going to say, my grandfather was in the cavalry as well in the First World War. And there's only one photograph that we have at home. Sadly, he died 30-odd years ago. And he just looked absolutely amazing, standing with a lance with the sort of enormous baggy trousers. Yeah. And just looked so incredibly smart with the horse rearing his head behind him.
Have you seen those wonderful photos from the First World War? Because, of course, they were still using cavalry then, which meant a lot of use in the trenches, but they brought in the newest technology then, and there was the bicycle brigade. Cycled in.
Can I just say I'm mad for the bicycle brigade?
Just wonderful, aren't
they? I asked on air recently, I said I had seen a memorial to the Kent Cycling Brigade of India. Right, so this is a combination of all those things together. And did anybody know about it? I'm telling you, there are whole websites about people who went to India to train on their bicycles. I love this, from Kent. and went and fought battles arriving. It's just incredibly English, isn't it? Do you think there is an eccentricity about the way in which the British still kind of hang on to these things?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you find that?
I can tell you some stories.
Oh, go on.
Oh, please.
No.
It must have seemed very strange to you, not being British. British and looking at some of these curious ways of life.
Well, I became fascinated by it, actually, and I found that the more I got in and the more pictures I took, the more I learned. If every little trinket has a story behind it. Every little breastplate or little piece of brass or the beard of the horse, you know, there's a reason for every little something, and it goes back, I won't tell you how many years, for obvious reasons.
No, because we want you to phone us and tell us, okay? You've only got till 2 o'clock.
It goes back, you know, a long time. And, you know, this battle was fought, that's why they needed that. And that's what it goes. But the whole... What I wanted to create was... What I found out was whether you are the least-ranking trooper to the highest, highest person in the army, all the way up to the Sovereign and Her Majesty, everyone is completely dedicated in what they do, and they take so much pride, and they work so hard. But in true British way, they never talk about it.
No, I think that's best. We don't want to be discussing the fact that you might get a little perspiration every now and then. We don't want to mention that. Now, you happened to be around and taking photographs when the Queen Mother, bless her, passed away.
Yes.
So you've got some astonishing photographs. What was that like? I mean, presumably they went into kind of high energy mode because there was an awful lot for them to do at that point.
Well, I think of all the events I have photographed, I thought that was incredible. It was probably the best because every segment of the entire household division, which included not just the household cavalry, King's troop, but everyone else, they all came together at such short notice. And, you know, as a photographer, wow, I wish I could be everywhere photographing this. It's incredible. I mean, so much was going on, and it was so well orchestrated.
And are you one of these modern boys? You do that digital photography thing, or are you an old film boy?
No, I'm totally traditional.
Good man. Good man.
Long way to
die. I find it very disturbing when you have your photograph taken now and the photographer goes, just a minute, let me just see if I've got that. And he looks at the camera.
No.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the quality of the photograph. There's a wonderful picture in the book of a man, I forget what his title is, he's some kind of a sergeant, marking the ground with chalk. They actually mark out where everybody's got to stand.
Oh, yes. That's that was the old, he retired, Garrison Sergeant Major Perry Mason.
Perry Mason?
Yeah.
His name was Perry Mason?
He was a legend.
Who knew that's where he ended up?
Second career.
In uniform, he stood 8 feet tall. And this was on the day of the Golden Jubilee, actually the day before. I was on my bicycle. I do all my photography. A lot of it is done on bicycle, so I can.
You could have joined that regiment.
There you go.
It was there for you.
And I'm there in the middle of the traffic jam near St. Paul's, and I see this man, Perry Mason, crouched on the floor, traffic running both sides, and he's chalk, you know, marking the chalk. Oh, fantastic photographs. I took those pictures. And indeed, he's marking every little step along the way where every guardsman, every foot guard, everyone stands during the procession. And it's incredible to what detail. And it's very simple. It's all done by chalk and hand and measuring and, you know, it's not. You know, it's simple.
Now, we're getting lots and lots of different emails coming in to answer your question. Marion Percy from Maidenhead. Oh, isn't Maidenhead out near where... isn't that out near where the Magna Carta was signed? Maidenhead, isn't
it? Yeah, getting on there. Getting on for Runnymede.
Runnymede, yeah. The Household Cavalry, she says, was formed in 1660. Is this correct?
That's correct. Well done.
And just before the restoration of King Charles II, a Royal Mounted Bodyguard was formed in Holland. Who knew? From 80 royalists who had gone into exile with the king after the Battle of Worcester, 1652. Can I just say tomorrow we're going to be celebrating the birth of Worcester sauce? just to let you know, just a little bit of a taster, as it were, of what's coming up tomorrow, invented by Mr. Lee and Mr. Perrins. after the Battle of Worcester, 1652, in March of that year, the king appointed officers to 3 troops of horse guards, which were formed on the king's return to England in May 1660. Is she correct with
She's
all those
very
things?
Correct. Maybe she could help write my whole history chapter again.
Marion, that's fantastic. You well are, can't tell you how thrilled you're going to be.
And we're all jealous now because she's getting the book.
I may cry. I may cry, actually. Have you done any kind of big versions of the photographs? Because they are, you could sell the photographs just as huge posters because they're so beautiful.
Well, I do make the prints as big prints, as cibachromes, which is archival quality. But I also...
What does that mean? They don't fade?
They don't fade. It's the highest quality you can get, which, you know, I have over here to show. But what I also do is, to me, as a photograph is nice if you see it in a book. It's even nicer to see it in a big poster or whatever. But it's incredible when you see it on a huge screen. And you get 400, 500, 600 of them going by, each picture for 4 or 5 seconds, combined with sounds that I've recorded. You know, you hear 300 horses going through an archway. It's like the echo is fantastic. And together with music.
Yeah.
So you just go through this wonderful journey.
And what do they think about it? They must be thrilled.
Well, they love it, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's nice that,
Have they got any of your photographs kind of framed? They should have them framed.
Over 6 years, yeah.
so any temptation to join, Henry? They just think, oh, that's it. I'm gonna get...
No, not at all.
Why not?
Because it's too hard.
and you like your bicycle too much.
It's hard work. I wouldn't trade.
Well, I think we're very lucky that you put in the hard work to get the photographs. It's a most beautiful book. I have to say, it's the nicest book of photographs I think I've ever seen of anything.
Thank you.
It's by Henry de Lisle. Who's it published by, Henry?
Well, I published it myself.
There, you see. Can I describe that as a labour of love, frankly? It's called Pageantry and Performance, and if you can get hold of a copy, do, because it's absolutely stunning. Henry, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you. Well, you have to mention the big show at Windsor Castle in a few weeks.
When is it?
September 19th and 20th.
Right.
Part of the Windsor Festival. I'll be having an exhibition of my photography in the Guildhall. And a son et lumière projecting these images on huge screens on the lower ward of the castle.
That sounds an absolute must.
It should be fun. Tickets are free.
Great.
But you must apply for tickets from the Royal Box, or you can click into windsorfestival.com. There are a lot of other very well-known performers, the Royal Philharmonic, and
you see, I love that London is London and its environs, which I would include Windsor in, is full of wonderful things that you can do, which actually don't need to cost you a lot of money. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it goes really well. It was lovely to meet you.
Thank you very
much. And many congratulations. It's a fantastic book. Let's check out where the horses are moving about in London with the Travel with Acacia Hipwood.